Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
The world is changing faster than ever, and you need a website to go with it. Whether you're a seasoned pro looking to build your following or just starting out with a brand new idea, you need a landing page that's bold, innovative, and uniquely yours.
Whatever your passion, you need a web designer with experience, panache, and heart. We can't help you with any of that. Hi, I'm Lou Bank.
And I'm Greg Benson. Are we Silicon Valley tech visionaries? No, we're podcast hosts, and that's basically the same thing. And we're here to tell you about Ancestral Agave Syrup.
Ancestral Agave Syrup is the 100% pure nectar of the agave plant. Now, wait a minute, you're thinking. I've had 100% pure agave nectar. Well, not like this, you haven't.
That stuff is processed with a diffuser, which introduces acid. Plus, it comes from Blue Weber, a monoculture that dominates farms, depletes the soil, and won't help you grow your brand or expand your e-commerce functionality.
Ancestral agave syrup, on the other hand, is made by slowly cooking down the pure agua miel from Salmiana agaves in Hidalgo and Tlaxcala, two states that have been harvesting those plants for generations. It also won't expand your e-commerce functionality, but it will grow your brand if your brand is person who makes kick-ass margaritas, or pecan pies, or pancakes.
Unfortunately, the families behind this tasty stuff are being offered big beer company bucks to rip out their agave and plant barley instead. Which would be a crime, because Ancestral Agave Syrup is about as far from the processed stuff as 100% pure Vermont maple syrup is from that sticky bottle at a diner.
So, don't build a homepage from one of several easy-to-use templates, but do grab Ancestral Agave Syrup today. Our first 25 customers will also receive a special limited edition agave superhero comic book. So do not wait. Protect the land, make better drinks, and save the bats by grabbing some today.
Wait, what was that about bats?
Yeah, it's an important food source on the migration path of the Mexican long-nosed bat.
Huh.
Yeah, the flowering stalks of the agave also provide protection from predators.
Oh, well, that's cool. Should we get back to the ad now?
Yeah, let's do that. Go to ancestralagave.com or click the link in the show notes to grab some today.
Ancestral Agave Syrup. It won't help you build a beautiful website, but it will make your cocktails taste really, really good.
I'm Lou Bank.
And I'm Linda Sullivan.
And this is Agave Road Trip, the critically acclaimed award-winning podcast that helps Green Gex bartenders better understand agave, agave spirits,
and rural Mexico.
I love when you pick that up. Okay, so as we sit here in the mobile studio today, Linda, you will see before you two fine gifts. It's, you know, by the time people are listening to this, it's well past Christmas. But for us, it's just the 12 days before Christmas.
Well, I'm glad these gifts aren't birds.
Songbirds, yes. Yeah. Yes. So one is this bottle of Ancestral Agave Syrup that we've been talking about for the last several, not you and I, but that Greg and I have been talking about the last several episodes before as a commercial. Right.
It looks delicious.
Right. And then even though when Greg and I talk about it, because, you know, he's a lush, we talk about it in terms of cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
But before I came to pick you up in the mobile studio, I stopped by Dark Matter Coffee, our friends at Dark Matter.
We love you guys.
Yeah. And I had them make you an agave latte. They told me once that that's their most popular drink is the agave latte.
Really?
Yeah.
Made with this syrup?
Well, normally they make it with the nonsense bullshit syrup that I told them to stop using. They just, you know, they won't listen to me, Linda. They need to talk to you. But this time, none of the people who knew me were there. And so I was able to convince the people behind the counter to use this very special ancestral agave syrup to make the latte.
So gave them this and they made the drink with what you handed them?
Yeah, right? Like, we need that in more places.
I mean,
bring your own meat to Burger King?
Yeah, that sounds very dangerous.
Yeah. Fair.
Okay, delicious.
Yeah. So, you know, and so there's your, and you can tell me if you don't like it, it's okay. You can
cheers.
Cheers. Yeah. You can say so. I'm just really curious what you think of it as a latte.
I love it. It's softer.
Well, you know, of course you love it because it's a dark matter latte, but do you think don't know. You've never had their agave latte before.
I don't think I have. You know what I usually get there? What? It's called Wake and Bake. It's the black pepper and sage.
Oh.
I think usually I get it with oat milk, but it's a latte. It's delicious.
I've always assumed I saw that they literally put like CBD in it, so I've always avoided it. I just assumed it was some kind of amped up.
There's no drugs in there.
Oh, okay.
It's just black pepper and sage. It's like a really savory kind of earthy latte. It's delicious.
Right on. Okay, well, next time I'll try that. Is there any agave syrup in there?
My guess is no. I assume that the simple syrup is infused with the black pepper and the sage, and that's how they make it. But I've never noticed that it says agave syrup. So I don't know if it's sugar or agave.
And I like that you said simple syrup, because that gives us the context to talk about this syrup, which is complex syrup.
That's funny, because simple syrup is the name for any sugar thing that you would make. But the more stuff that you add to it, the more complex it does get, which is funny because then it really shouldn't be called simple syrup.
It really shouldn't.
It's not very simple when you're adding all kinds of stuff to it.
Right. Do we have to lobby the FDA on that one?
Mm-mm. We'll just change it right here, right now on the podcast.
We have that power?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, bartenders, drink X bartenders.
The name to complex syrup when you add shit to it.
Yes, otherwise it's simple. Simple if there's just sugar and water. Complex if you add flavor.
Everyone who agrees, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, there we go.
I think we got that covered. Okay, so let's talk then about this complex syrup, which didn't have anything added. But so here's what this deal, and you haven't heard the commercial because you don't listen to our podcast.
No, I do. I'm just way behind.
That's
you
okay.
You want to know why I'm behind?
I do.
Because Chava's podcast, Cut in Line.
Oh, he's going to love that.
I know.
You've been listening to too much Heritage Mezcal.
He did one recently about Salmiana.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I love that varietal. That was right up my alley. I had to listen to that.
Yeah. But what's the excuse for the rest of the episodes?
Oh, well, it's been too cold to take the dog for a walk, and that's when I listen to podcasts.
I thought you meant like it's just all of his podcasts are in front of mine.
No, just a couple of his yours. I still love you.
No, I know that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in the mobile studio.
I do love the mobile studio.
That's awesome. So, what this is, right, is with agave syrup, what you get primarily commercially here in the USA, what you get has been, even if it comes from organic agave, generally it's Blue Weber agave, right? So it's contributing to that monoculture in Jalisco. And generally what you get is Blue Weber that has been processed using a diffuser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you get all of these agave geeks and bartenders and everything who are screaming about, oh, I hate diffuser tequila, blah, blah, blah. And then meanwhile, they're covering themselves in diffuser made agave syrup and then chicken feathers.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know anyone who's doing that?
No, but it reminds me that I haven't yet watched Home Alone this season. So thank you for that.
This is going to sound weird again to people in January, but trust me, in December, that joke kills. Anyway, so So we write like that. We get this agave syrup that's that. And for a while, in fact, there was even a boycott amongst some bartenders who were very agave centric, where they refused to use agave syrup. I'm looking at you, Brian, and you, Shad, where they weren't going to do it because they felt like that was contributing to the part of the spirits industry that they didn't want to support. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So this is the opposite of that.
I love it.
Well, you love that it's the opposite?
Yes,
you don't
so
even
far.
Know what it means.
I know, but opposite of all that bad stuff you just said is great.
Okay,
so I'm on board.
Tell me again the agave that you love.
Salmiana.
So
is this from Salmiana?
Enough, yes, it is. So this is composed of three different varieties of Salmiana that are growing in Hidalgo, Mexico, right? And there are a number of producers in Hidalgo and Tlaxcala who have been making pulque forever, mm-hmm. right? And now that pulque, and it's been a tiny market, like a disappearing market, and beer like screwed up the market for pulque decades ago. And just recently, pulque has been on the rise. But as it's been on the rise, right, in Mexico City, like
right.
suddenly the cities are like, oh, these gringos, they like mezcal. Well, we're even cooler than that. We like pulque. So now they're drinking more pulque.
Huh,
but,
cool.
right? But
yeah.
as they're doing that, there are a bunch of these mid-level guys who are getting into the business of making pulque, and they're doing it at scale in a way that is forcing the price down from these families who have been doing it forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, right? So, in essence, the rise of pulque is putting at risk the cultural heritage of these families who have been really the stewards of pulque in the same way that the mezcaleras who have been stewards of mezcal are the ones who don't get to use that name and are sort of on
right.
the outskirts of the industry.
Hmm.
Right? So they've been trying to figure out what to do. And Chava and I went there with our friend Gonzalo to visit some of these producers. And one of the things that they've been doing is instead of fermenting the agua miel that they harvest from the uncooked Salmiana agave, the agave that's still in the ground, right? Instead of fermenting it into pulque, they've been cooking it down the same way that all of the fine farmers in Vermont are cooking down the sap of their
mm-hmm.
maple trees.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly
yeah.
over open fires.
Yeah, making a reduction, essentially.
Yeah, and that's what you get. And, you know, and so... So Greg and I had a scheme. We were going to do a Kickstarter, but he hated the idea of giving Kickstarter any of the money. So instead, we just set up a website. I know.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
Lou and your thousands of websites.
I know, right? And URLs. Though, to be fair, this one wasn't me. This is on Greg, not on me.
You didn't use a domain that you had purchased years ago?
No. I bought three domains for this one. We've got ancestralagave.com, which is the main one. I think we got ancestralsyrup.com. And then I think I got ancestralagavesyrup.com.
Cover all the bases.
All the bases. And then I forgot to put any of them on the label.
Awesome.
Anyway, right? Right?
Awesome.
But so what we're trying to do in essence is find a market for this amongst the agave geeks. But also, you know, also amongst chefs, like I just dropped off 20 liters of this with our friends over at Frontera yesterday.
Oh, really? What are they using it for?
Well, you know, it's funny. I thought that they were going to use it for baking, right? So Jennifer, who's no longer there, but like, mm-hmm. you know, who was there when
oh,
we
yeah.
started doing this. You know Jennifer.
Oh, of course.
And now
yeah.
there's a different Jennifer.
She's
there.
Only just recently not there.
Yeah. Very recently. So I thought that she had asked me for the 20 liters. And so as she was leaving, I was like, do you want this there or at the new place? And she said, oh, I wasn't the one who wanted that. That was Zach.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know what Zach's...
Using it for savory, then, is what that angles towards.
Well, or, again, this is Zach. Maybe he just wanted to do the artisanal version of covering yourself in agave syrup and chicken feathers.
Oh, well, that would be really nice.
And very Zach.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
It would be. That fits his personality.
Yeah, right?
He could play his little drum while he's covered in chicken feathers.
Okay, that's a picture you're going to send in for the cover of the episode, Zach. So
calendar coming soon.
Yeah. So I honestly, I'm not sure what he's going to do with it. But, you know, and the guys at Dark Matter have been talking about using it for their lattes. And so there's all of this. But, you know, like I'm of two minds with this. Like, first is this is much more expensive than the commercial stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And so you have to look at it sort of the same way that Greg likes to say this. They're sort of the same way as the really fine Vermont maple syrup versus Mrs. Buttersworth.
Yeah, exactly.
No offense, Mrs. Buttersworth. I think you're a fine lady. And why are you hiding that laugh?
And, I don't know. Fine lady just got me.
Yeah.
Fine
really?
Lady.
She's a fine lady. Fine lady in a beautiful pancake skirt. So, you know, you got to look at it that way, number one. So, like, it's, I want to say it's like four times as much as the industrial stuff. But, you know, the other piece of this that has me concerned is I'm so. Like initially when Gonzalo pitched us on this, I was very reluctant to do it because it felt to me like maybe I end up being the guy responsible, or at least partially responsible, for turning pulque families into syrup families. You know what I mean?
But it's another stream of revenue when their main stream of revenue is suffering.
Why do I still have my seatbelt on?
Oh, I do too. We're so safe.
I don't think suffering is one of their streams of revenue.
It's not.
Oh, but you're saying their mainstream is suffering. Yeah, you know, that's right. But like, so in my heart of hearts, really, what I would love, hang on. So let me get to the other piece of this.
Okay.
Okay. So then there's the conversation that that we've been having with Bat Conservation International, where they tell us that these communities in Hidalgo and Tlaxcala are on the migratory pattern of the Mexican long-nosed bat. And so they need agaves going to seed, right? So mm-hmm. I already had this plan of, okay, I'm just going to start paying a bunch of Tinicaleros or Tlachiqueros or whatever they call themselves, the people who make pulque, the families, right? I'm going to pay them. I'm going to, in essence, buy unmade pulque. I want to buy, you know, how many they get, like, I think it's 5 to 10 liters a day out of any given plant. I think they said it's something like 90 days that they do that. So that's 900 liters, let's say. And so 900 liters of pulque. I want to buy 900 liters of pulque. But I don't want you to make it.
You want to pay for that percentage to go to seed.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to pay you to not make pulque, kind of like, you know, the USA does with corn.
Yep.
And let it go to seed so that it becomes a food stopover for the migratory bats. So I already thought, okay, I need to do this, right? And then I thought, well, okay, if I combine these two things, in essence, I mean, I'm not going to pay them to not make syrup, but If I pay twice as much for the syrup, and then that allows them to let half of their agave go to seed, or some portion go to seed, right? So then I thought, okay, well, I can live with that regret of maybe turning these families into syrup families who are also saving bats.
Right. But does it have to be either or?
I don't know. But
well,
this is
I
the
know
thing.
That you have to, like, if you're looking at one plant, you have to choose whether to make pulque out of that agua miel or syrup. So in that way, it is either or.
Yeah.
But these salmian are wild, right? Mm-hmm. These are silvestre. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. No, they're not.
They're not?
No. Farmed.
Oh.
Farm.
From in seed fact, or hiuelos?
No, you know, this is another interesting thing. And I think if Chav and I didn't do an episode on this, I know we certainly recorded the interview. So I'll dig through, and if not, then you and I will have a follow up episode where we use those quotes from the Tinicalero. But in fact, what they said to us in a nutshell was that they use the hiuelos, but they exchange hiuelos with neighbors in order to ensure like a different way to ensure genetic diversity.
Ooh,
and,
yeah, I like that.
Right?
I hadn't heard of that before.
Yeah.
Wait, in mezcal though, or agave spirits, I don't know of anybody who's farming salmiana.
Seriously?
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
The Villasuso family.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. Right next to their fabrica, they have like fields and fields where they've just started planting them.
Oh yeah, but none of them have come to maturation.
Oh yeah,
it's
no,
like
no, ex- no.
They're
yeah.
like experimenting.
Oh yeah,
with
yeah,
it.
yeah, for sure. But
these in Tlaxcala and Hidalgo, they're successfully farming like Salmiana to full maturity.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, but you can find that also. I shouldn't say you can find that. That's just rude. I have seen that in other places. Like primarily, I've seen it in Oaxaca.
But Salmiana.
But I've also seen it in Durango.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. 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 So look, this myth of there are some agaves that can't be farmed, it's just nonsense. Everything can be farmed. It changes when you farm it.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of figuring it out. I think sometimes we are in the agave conversation, wherein a lot of other conversations, we are beyond it. We've learned X, Y, and Z, right? Or the generation before us has learned it, and now we're working with that intel. I feel like this is happening right now while we're living, which I think is really exciting.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can or you can't. It's just like, oh, we figured that one out. Check. We're moving on. Now we have to wait, right? With the Salmiana, it's annoying. Got to wait 10, 12 years. Like, let's see if this experiment works.
Well, so two thoughts on this. The first one is this is making me think about the experiment. It wasn't an experiment. The failed endeavor that we did with Xochitl at the middle school in Xochitl, from which we source our Tobala seedlings.
Yeah, these are the Tobala.
Yeah, the seedlings that we purchased through Sacred and then we hand out to Mescaleros. So we, a couple of years ago, we got her a bunch of seeds. We got the school a bunch of seeds from other agaves so that they could, you know, diversify.
Oh, right. Not Tobala.
Well, also Tobala, in addition to Tobala. Okay. And boy, like her germination rate, the school's germination rate for Tobala is something like 95%. And the germination rate for these other seeds was something like 5 to 10%. It was awful. It was awful. And I think it's because of exactly what you're saying. Like people, they understand how to do Tobala.
Right.
And so they treat every other seed like Tobala.
But they need other things. Right?
Yeah, it's different conditions, sure. Different. Like, and so it was a failed, I shouldn't say failed, right? Like we got some seedlings, but not what we should have gotten.
More of a learning experience than a success
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You know, and I think about our friend Greg over at Finca. Is it Finca 18? I think it's Finca 18. Where he was very successful with his experimentation of germinating seeds from all these other agaves around Mexico. He did it all in his greenhouse he set up in Jalisco. And now it's to the point where he has too many seedlings to plant on his land. So he's given a bunch to us, the Sacred, to distribute to Mescaleros.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know who else? This is probably not an experiment that has come to fruition yet, but wasn't Sergio from Ultramundo also doing that? Bringing like agave, I don't know if it was seeds or hihuelos, onto his property and trying to see what took?
Yeah, yeah. My recollection, I could be wrong here, but my recollection is it was Espadín to start and it was a failure for him.
Oh, it didn't work out.
It did not work out. Now, I think he's trying with some other ones. And what I keep hearing is, I shouldn't say I keep hearing, I've heard a number of times that if you germinate the seed in the local soil, in the local, in the right way, clean it the right way, give it what it needs, which is going to be a little bit different based on the different, right? That it has a much greater chance of survival than taking a seedling from a place like Oaxaca and moving it to Durango. Now,
Starting it in its familiar surroundings before you upheave it into somewhere new.
Yeah. Now, having said that, you know, we took 2,000 of, I want to say it was 2,000 Madraquiche. I think it was Madraquiche seedlings from Greg and shipped them to a mescalero in Oaxaca. So it went Jalisco to Oaxaca, which is funny, right? Because of the Karwinski, right? So we'll see what happens. But, you know, fingers crossed it'll be successful. But, you know, to get back to your whole, okay, now we'll wait 12 to 15 years.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I took us way off the
No, it's okay. No. This is the fun of hanging out in a car with you in a busy business district where they're packing meat.
There's a sentence I didn't know I was going to hear today.
But, hey, we knew there was going to be some kind of meat joke. Didn't we discuss that at the beginning?
We did. Yeah, we started off talking about meat and vegan.
Yeah. It's no longer breaking bread. It's tearing meat. That's how you bond with friends.
Get that in there.
Tearing meat.
Oh, I don't love it.
No, that's okay. I poured this for you the other night at the event with Dan Saladino.
That huge bottle that you had alongside Amaras and Lucy?
Oh, I didn't pour it for you. Never mind. So this was a different event that I did, actually.
Sounds like one you didn't invite me to.
You don't get invited to everything, Linda.
Rude.
So
that is absolutely much too rude.
Maybe you should start listening to our actual podcast.
Oh, busted! Java, save me.
So the first seedlings that Sacred distributed, right, was 2017. And obviously Tobola, because that's all we did back then. And those first seedlings, I have a batch now of agave spirits made by Manuel Ramos in Miahuatlan that was made from those seedlings.
Oh, cool.
Yes, but think
so
about
the
timing.
So that's the full circle, 17 to 23.
And it was, basically 5.5 years to reach maturity. 5.5 years. You know, everybody says, oh, Tobola, that's 12 to 15 years.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm not saying that it's not, but I'm not saying it is. I like, you know, there's this whole, what are the conditions? What's the climate?
Is that evidence that they were really healthy?
Well, it's evidence that it, at least in, you know, he and his father, Victor, God bless Victor Ramos. He and his father, Victor, told me once when I bought a liter or 30 of Tepextate from them, told me that plant takes 10 or 11 years to reach maturity where they are. And, you know, that's the one you always hear, 40 years to reach maturity. Mm-hmm. It is the rarest of all agaves. It can't be farmed. Right? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's like 10, maybe, just like this, he said.
Well, maybe 10, 11 years, Lou. I don't know, something like that.
But it speaks to, I think sometimes, and, you know, if I asked him now, he'd probably say 40 years, because he gets so many more visitors from Gringoland, right? And it's like, oh, well, what do they want to hear? What's going to sell something? And I don't want that to come off as, how do I market to the gringo? But rather, I don't want to disappoint the expectations.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because we associate that length of time to maturation, we tie it to such positive associations, but not incorrectly. I mean, that's every year over where it's building those sugars, that's adding complexity.
Well, maybe. You know, like, so, actually, there was an episode of Chava's podcast where they talked about this.
Once again, Chava, help me.
So there was an episode about that, but what I will say is that what Fabio was discussing was, the sugar becomes more complex as it ages and it reaches maturity. Mm-hmm. What wasn't discussed on that episode, or what I didn't hear anyway in it, and, you know, no claim to be a scientist or even a junior scientist, was, okay, well, if the plant builds up enough of its natural agavins, potential sugars, that it has the accumulated potential energy to reproduce at 6 years instead of 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there any difference then? Is it really just a matter of it needs to be ready? Or is it literally, same plant, 16 years, 6 years, whether it's ready to reproduce or not. So you want to actually make it take longer to reproduce, and then it becomes more, like,
Yeah, right. Because if it's ready before, we were, you know, assuming that my initial thought when you first said that was, that must have been a healthy plant. It was happy.
Right.
And so it made all its sugars, and now it's ready to go. And that's a good thing.
Right, right. Well, yes. And, you know, and I know that most of the people that I talk to who use these plants to make alcohol, they don't really focus on, I wish it didn't take so long. You know, I've never heard that. The one time that hit my radar was when Lalo wanted to buy a field of 90 9-year-old araucano plants. Ooh. And, you know, the suggestion, and I don't know that he ever explicitly said it, but the suggestion that I heard was the family was going to tear it out to replace it with corn or some other right, some other crop that they could rotate through to make money more readily.
Right, right. Because the 9 years, it's just sitting there. It's not making anyone any money.
Right. But it's it struck me the way that it was presented that, oh, well, this is not a family that's in the business. They were just sort of trying something out. And now it's not working. So he then took, and he told me, it's going to take 22 years for that, just like this.
It's going to take 22 years for these plants to reach maturity. So that's another 13 years, Lou.
So, you know, he moved the plants over to his house. And then 3 years later, it's like, oh, hey, they've reached maturity.
They
were
ready.
Well, it's not all of them. It's, you know, but yeah, like they started in 3 years. And maybe that's because they moved. Maybe it's because they were farmed instead of wild. Maybe.
Sure, right. Yeah. Well, someone I know has this theory about the 400 decisions that go into every process.
You have a friend?
I do. One.
One. One who doesn't invite me when he's pouring Tobala from the Ramoses.
Seriously. Also, can I please note, because I know everyone's thinking it, everyone you know has the same voice today.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've got basically two voices. There's the male voice and the female voice. That's it. And, you know, there's a little bit of difference in age sometimes, but just sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. You've heard my Connie voice.
I have.
Which is also sort of my Dolores voice. And
Dolores.
And it's even like sometimes it's the Linda voice, frankly, when you're not around and I have to do you. This is what it comes down to. It's like, I'll take the Connie voice.
Yeah, I accept.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
She gets sounds like a cartoon.
She gets a little bit more of the Marge Simpson than you get, but yeah. Wait, so we got off course. So, agave,
what are we even talking about?
Ancestral agave syrup. So anyway, so my great hope for this is that we do find a market for it that does help the families, but doesn't cause the eradication of their cultural heritage. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what else to do. And, right. You know, and I know, like, even just saying that, there's a degree of arrogance. Like, it's my job to do anything. But I think, in a way, it's all of our jobs to do something when we recognize a problem and we recognize how that problem can impact our species, our human species. And to not do something, I don't see that as an option. I get that sometimes you can't do everything.
Right.
You can't do everything.
No,
but
approaching it thoughtfully, like I didn't know that was cool to learn that that's like a stopover spot for the migration of that bat.
The lady bat.
The long, what'd you say? Bat. Long nose.
The Mexican long nose lady bat.
Oh, Lord. But that's, I mean, to be thoughtful about that detail and incorporate that into the plan for like this new stream of revenue. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like we're like haters with new ideas, and that what, like, how much more can you ask? That is a good way to approach a problem, right? And then you try it and see what happens. Yeah. I think that, so you had mentioned about how expensive this is, this agave syrup,
yeah,
which I think now in 23, well, 24 when this is out,
maybe 25, depending on how much Roy hates the background noise.
Sorry, Roy. I don't know that that's as much of a hang up. I think that like the high end places, I mean, you're talking about dropping it off with Zach at Frontera. Well, they've got the library up there. They've got Topolo. They've got like, I mean, they can afford to pay for things that they think are ethical and sustainable and contribute to values that match theirs.
Because they have customers who feel the exact same way.
Exactly. Yeah, well, there's other, I mean, there's dozens of new Michelin stars and James Beard awards and all. I mean, Chicago's a great food city. Obviously, this has cocktail and coffee and food and baking applications. I just, maybe I'm naive because I think that we are all needing to become familiarized with like the new pricing structure, more of a post-pandemic general pricing structure. Things are more expensive. To go out to have food and entertainment is more expensive. You complain about it all you want, but bring your wallet and pay for it and then go home, or just stay home and then don't buy things.
Yeah.
But my hope is that that's not that much of a hang up. Like that's not a burden to getting it out there. I think people would be excited about that.
Yeah.
But you haven't actually tasted just the straight up spirit yet.
Mm-mm.
Spirit. I'm sorry. Syrup.
Syrup. No, not yet.
Spirup.
Spirup.
Yeah. You know, as you're pouring that and tasting it, it strikes me that, you and I should also open a restaurant called Michelin Beard.
My brain immediately went to what the logo would look like.
You get that, like that James Beard silhouette with a giant bushy, oh wait, no, he'd have to have a Michelin star. You'd have to have the Michelin man with the James Beard beard.
Oh, that'd be weird.
Or maybe it's James. God, this is like an AI thing.
The Michelin stars themselves are so weird.
Are they?
Well, it's from a tire company.
Oh.
Strange.
Well, no, because it was all about travel back then.
I know. The story is cool, but like when you see pictures, people go and get their stars, and there's like a big Michelin man that looks like the marshmallow Stay Puft from Ghostbusters. You're like, huh. That's weird. It doesn't have anything to do with food. I just think it's funny.
Oh, no. I think it looks like a white guy who had too much to eat.
Oh, boy. Then you got to roll him out?
Yeah.
The restaurant?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Right?
This is cool.
Would you call it, say, a complex syrup?
It's definitely complex.
Yeah.
It's really, it's like tangy and really dark. Almost reminds me a little bit of like a tamarind.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to create a cocktail with it.
Okay, so you create the cocktail, Linda, and we'll put that in the show notes.
Oh, show
and
notes.
And then send everybody over to ancestralagave.com to get their little flask, little 100 milliliter flask. It's cute, isn't it?
It's super cute.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay. Well, I think I thought this was going to be like
a
tiny
doozy.
Commercial. This is more than 30 minutes, Linda.
Jesus, he's here?
Jesus,
for the purposes of this podcast, he will go by Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, Linda, I think we'll wrap it, and then you can take your seatbelt off for the next episode. What do you think?
Cheers.
Okay, hasta pronto.
See ya.
You've been listening to Agave Road Trip, the critically acclaimed award-winning podcast that helps Gringex bartenders better understand agave, agave spirits, and rural Mexico. We're blessed with sound engineering by Roy Sierra and a theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Marco Ricos. Sign up to become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know. And if you hated it, well, I'm sure you'll let us know that too. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Agave Road Trip. Agave Road Trip is a production of 10 Angry Pit Bulls, Inc. Agave Road Trip is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the Heritage Radio newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with Heritage Radio Network on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find Heritage Radio Network at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization using the power of educational storytelling about food to build a more equitable, resilient food system. Heritage Radio Network couldn't do that without support from listeners like you. Become a part of the world's most innovative community today. Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the Heritage Radio Network family by becoming a member. To become a member of the Heritage Radio Network, click on the beating heart of our homepage. Heritage Radio Network can become addictive. Programming you hear on Heritage Radio Network might lead you to eat, drink, and listen to more programming on Heritage Radio Network. If you drink, please do not drink and drive. Drink responsibly. Drive responsibly. Eat responsibly, too. And listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly. To listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly, wear protective earbuds. While wearing protective earbuds, do not drive. Do not walk either. Sit in a comfortable chair. If that comfortable chair has a hard seat, please remember to stretch every 30 minutes. If you stretch every 30 minutes, please stay within your defined stretching capacity. And consult a doctor who specializes in stretching. If you don't have a doctor, maybe Dr. Ryan Acock, the Cocktail MD, can help you out. Thanks for listening.
Agave Road Trip.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.